Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
So would you take your Bible this morning and would you turn to the book of Joshua? Would you stand with me if you're able to? If not, just stand up on the inside. We like to stand to honor the word. Joshua chapter 14. What a powerful passage of scripture. Let's read it together. I'll be reading from the NIV. It says, "Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions.'" Can you say that with me? "According to my convictions," right? "But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance." So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war." Father, come speak to us today. We want the visions and dreams and hopes you've dropped in our heart to come about. And we may be facing delays. And Lord, we need faith release today. Help us to hear from Caleb's story. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. An incredible story about an incredible man of faith, Caleb. We're going to look at some things about his life today. We're going to look at some things we see straight out of Scripture. And then we're going to look at some things we don't see. And those are just as significant as the things we do see. And we're going to draw from the outcome of his commitment to the vision. You have notes there with you. You can follow along. The background of what we just read here in Joshua is not the whole story. Caleb is reminding Joshua of something that happened in the past. 45 years ago, he's been hanging on to this and he's reminding Joshua about it. So let's go to that place in Scripture and let's see what happened on that day that didn't turn out so good for a lot of people. Let's take a look at that. It should have turned out really good, but it didn't. Something got in the way. Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to Numbers chapter 14. Because the day that he's talking about, the day Moses promised, the day that he reported his convictions and everyone else reported fear, that happens in Numbers 14. 45 years in the past. Let's find out what happens. The background is the children of Israel being led by Moses out of Egypt. Miraculous things have happened on their journey, and now they're on the edge of crossing over, which they've been waiting for and celebrating all the way across the desert. Hey, we're going, we're almost there. They get to the edge of the promised land, as we might say. It's the edge of Canaan's land. It could be called that too. And Moses sends some spies out. That's what's happening in Numbers 13. He sends these 12 men across to go spy out the land, look at the vegetation, look at the people living there, come back and give us a report. They come back, and that's where the day turned not so great, because 10 of those spies came back filled with fear, and fear delayed the vision from coming about. It wasn't Caleb's fear. It wasn't Joshua's fear. They came back with a report on what God could do through them. But the other 10 used their influence to sway the community of Israelites into not going. And God was so displeased with their report of faith that it brought judgment on the whole community. Even though Caleb and Joshua were filled with faith, the influence of the other 10 brought about God's judgment. They were afraid. They feared the people of the land. And that fear caused a distortion in the way they saw God and who God was and wanted to be in their life. God takes them through the desert and did incredible things. Some of the great stories that we like to hear or that we remember from the Old Testament happened on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land. And yet somehow their picture of God was so distorted that they couldn't believe that he could help them yet again. And so then this is the moment now in history with the Israelites. Now the wandering in the desert is going to begin. Let's take a look at that. It's in Numbers 14. Take a look at verse 20. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. That's a bad day. He goes on to say that he's going to cause the children of Israel to wander around in the desert for 40 years until the generation passes away. And once they pass away, then they'll be able to go into the promised land. The way they saw God brought about this wandering in the desert. They were supposed to see him as their all-sufficient one. They were supposed to see him as their conquering God who can move the water for the Red Sea. Moving people, no problem. They were supposed to remember all the miraculous things they did, but they didn't. Fear caused delay. Now we find Joshua 14, where we stood and read. Caleb is on the edge of fulfillment. Write that in on your notes. He's on the edge of fulfillment. And there's some things about all that's led up to this moment that God wants us to hear today. Because we inevitably are going to face challenges as we pursue the vision that God's given us personally and for us, for our family. We're going to encounter challenges. We might encounter delays. I'm not going to be the bearer of bad news today, but you're going to encounter things. You're going to encounter things don't go according to your time frame. Oh, no. That's just a part of following God. He doesn't go by our calendars. If God went by our calendars, there would never be anyone in line in front of me at the coffee shop. It's a clear indication that he doesn't. Because when I go get in line at the coffee shop, invariably somebody ordering the largest order in the history of coffee shops is going to be right in front of me. Not you. I know that doesn't happen to you. Happens to me. What was it about Caleb? What was it about Caleb that he got to be excluded or protected from this judgment that God pronounced over the children of Israel? What was it? Well, let's look at what we see and what we don't see about Caleb from what we've read here, from both of these sections, both from the bad day where the bad report brought about judgment, and this day that we've read about where he's on the edge of fulfillment. There's some things that we can apply in our own life. The first thing, write it in your notes, is he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And it wasn't just one time that Caleb is described this way. He's described as following the Lord wholeheartedly both 45 years ago and the present time where he's standing on the edge of getting his inheritance. Followed the Lord wholeheartedly. What is that talking about? Well, it talks about, first of all, it's referring to he doesn't have a divided heart. He's wholly pursuing God's plans and purposes. He doesn't have a divided mind, divided heart, divided life. He's not just serving God on Sunday to get a check mark and feel, hopefully I feel better. He's serving God every day of the week, 24/7, the Hebrew phrase there. Now, the Bible was not written in English. I don't know if you knew that or not. It's not an English book. Somebody has gone to great lengths to try to help us read it in English. And the word originally written there for wholeheartedly is referring to the devotion, not just devotion, but steadfast devotion. He's all in for the things of God. And that has an effect on him on the inside, his personal commitment to the Lord, and it affects who he is on the outside. He's altogether all in, wholeheartedly. Not for just a moment, not just as long as that Moses is saying, I get what I'm, the inheritance. He remained wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord, even though what he was so looking for got delayed. He wasn't letting the time frame that it took for the vision to come about be a determiner of his commitment to the Lord. He was fully committed no matter when that vision was going to come about. Inward devotion aligned his entire being to follow God. The second thing is he was a man of conviction, and you helped me read it out loud. He gave a report on his conviction. Now, there's a number of things about him being a man of conviction that I want to bring out to us today. The first thing is he was not swayed like the rest of the crowd was by the bad report. He was willing to go against the bad report and against his fellow co-workers with the bad report, the fearful report. He didn't get sucked into that and say, well, you know, maybe you're right. No, his convictions were, I know who my God is and I know what he can do. He went against the sway. He wasn't swayed by the crowd. If you go back and read there in Numbers, you realize that the entire Israelite community, the word says they're in their tents wailing about it. They're in their tents crying out in fear, but not Caleb. He didn't get swayed by that. The second thing is he understood as being a man of conviction. It's because he understood the purposes of God. God's plan and intention and purposes was not to bring them thus far and then leave them to their self to go figure everything out. God did not do incredible, miraculous signs to extract them from Egypt just to abandon them. God's plan and purpose wasn't just to demonstrate his glory to the Egyptians and let them just try to figure out how to get the promised land. No, his plans and intentions were not that stopping point. It's over there. Hey, everybody, God's full intention is not here. It's over there. If he helped us then, he's going to help us there. If he did miracles then, he's going to do miracles there. And Caleb was convinced and lived by that. In so much that he went with, and I love this portion of this story, and it might not be obvious, but there's a leadership change here. He was one of Moses' servants. He got assigned by Moses. Moses gave him the promise. Moses died. Moses is not going to the promised land. There's a new leader in town, and it's his bestie, Joshua. And in this story, we see him submitted to leadership that's carrying the vision. Joshua now has to carry the vision. He now, it's on his shoulders to get the Israelites over there and conquer that land. And Caleb's life of conviction is I understand the plans and purposes of God, and now it's not Moses, now it's Joshua. But the plans, intentions are the same, and I'm all in. He's a man of conviction. The next thing is he stood on the promises of God. Look in your Bible, Joshua, back in this story, Joshua here, chapter 14. Look at verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he's kept me alive for 45 years. Look at verse 12. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. The third thing is he stood on the promises of God. He's kept that promise near and dear and fresh in his mind for 45 years, holding it out there. Keeping a hold of it, holding tight to that promise. Even though the timing seems to have changed, I'm going to hold on to that promise. The time frame and the delay were not a part of the conditions of him holding on to that promise. He's going to have to wait. I know you love that word, but Caleb probably didn't love that word. Wait. We have a problem here. Not everybody's all in, Caleb. You're going to have to wait. We'll get to that in a minute. He held on to the promises, kept it near. He was courageous. Caleb, I love this. He's the oldest person in the whole Israelite community, him and Joshua. You know how I know that? Everyone else died. The whole generation passed away. Caleb and Joshua are the only ones left. They're the oldest people there. And what does he say? Take a look at this. Look at your Bible, Joshua 14, verse 10, the end of it. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill. Look at this. You yourselves heard that the Anakites, let me at them. I'm ready to go get them. That's not in there. I'm saying it myself. Caleb, 85 years later, he is ready. He has been waiting to put his foot on the gas and drive over the Amalekites. And he does. He goes and takes Hebron away from them. It used to be called Kiriath Arba. Why did it used to be? Yeah, that's because Caleb and his men went and dislodged the greatest of the Anakites. His name was Arba, and they changed the name of the whole place because of it. Caleb, at 85 years old, he was courageous. And then last thing we see about Caleb is he had a different spirit. Something was different about him than all these other people that were filled with fear. Yeah, his spirit was different. And you and I can be just like Caleb. We can be committed, we can be courageous, and we can be empowered by the Holy Ghost and have a different spirit operating in us on a day and night basis to accomplish whatever it is God's dropped in our heart. As individuals and as a corporate body, we can be of a different spirit. Here's what we don't see about Caleb. Oh, this is good. What we don't see about Caleb, what we don't read about here, there's a number of things that I want to point out to us. Because the reason I want to point it out is because it could easily be something that delay could cause in us. And I don't want that to happen to you or me. So let's look at what it was. What do we not see about Caleb? Well, first of all, we don't see him whining for 40 years about what somebody else did to him. He is stuck in the desert wandering around, and it's not his fault. He gave the good report. He did what he was asked to do. He operated in faith. And yet he's stuck out here with all the gonzos who were filled with fear. What's a gonzo? I have no idea. People to blame. You got some people to blame in your life? Are you letting it cause 40 years of grief in your life? Caleb didn't. He kept his eyes on the Lord. Kept his eyes on the vision. You don't see him in the midst of hardship in the desert. You don't read an account of Caleb walking out there and pointing his fingers at the Israelite and saying, hey, this is your fault, you know. You did this. Not me. I did not do this, everyone. You did. You. You're the reason I'm out here eating manna for 40 years. I'm sick of it. It's your fault. You know, there's people that do that. Somebody's done something to them that they didn't have any choice about, and they're so stuck in it, they will never see the vision fulfilled because their mind and their emotions and their heart is still stuck on that day. Listen, you need to be healed. You need to be healed. Whatever happened to you, I'm sorry that happened. You can be healed. You also don't see him turning his back on God because of the delay. You also don't see him, oh, this is funny, okay? Just get the right picture. If you heard that the judgment is all these people have to die before you can go into the promised land, what would you help God do? You would help him. You would cause the time to shorten. So would I. I would be counting people. I'd get up in the middle of the night with a ninja suit on, sneak into people's tents. Right? Yeah. You know, that's the same thing Abraham did. He was promised Isaac. He got tired of waiting, so he decided to take matters in his own hands and created Ishmael. Don't think that you're not tempted to do the same thing, to force God's hand into fulfilling. Crickets. It got really quiet right there. You would totally dress up in a ninja suit and realize if I kill half of these people, I could get there quicker. It's kind of funny. Those of you that are afraid to laugh, it's funny. It's not funny. It's morbid. It's the way we think, though. What can I do to hurry this up? Because I don't like to wait. You don't see that in Caleb. You don't see him in Joshua. No, he went through the 40 years of grief with them in the desert. You don't see him ditching Joshua, the new leader, saying, oh, it's not Moses. Bummers. Yeah, all right. Well, I'm going to do my own thing. Caleb's commitment to the vision. Let's look at the results to Caleb's commitment to the vision. He was blessed. He was what? Blessed. He stuck with it. He went through the things. He let God bring it about. He was blessed. He went through all of the twists and turns with the Israelites and ended up being given what he was seeking out after the whole time. It's finally fulfilled, and he gets Hebron, and so do his descendants. That's what is happening here in Joshua 14. Hebron is a significant land, significant city in the history of Israel. The next generation was affected by his faith. His son-in-law was raised up as the first judge. So this is the book of Joshua. At the end of the book of Joshua, you have, the next book you have is Judges. And that's because there's a change in leadership style. Moses was in charge, gave it to Joshua. After Joshua, no one's leading. And so the Lord raises up Judges. That's why it's called Judges. It's about these people that are leading Israel. And the very first one God raised up, he pulled from Caleb's family. His name was Othniel. Pulled him from Caleb's family because of the faith that produced in the generation after him. Caleb affected the next generation. And Caleb's commitment to the vision brought about rest on the land. Well, why is that a big thing? Well, you got to get the picture here. The picture is Caleb wants the vision to be fulfilled. They crossed the Jordan. Has the vision been fulfilled? Well, Caleb could say yes, but he didn't. He served and battled right alongside with Joshua all of the years it took for them to conquer the land. He could have went straight to the land and said, this one's mine, have fun. He didn't. At 85 years old, he was committed to the Lord's plans and purposes that all of Israel would inherit this land, and it's going to take some fighting to get it done. And so I'm all in. And then it comes to the last piece, the last part of the battles. They battled the northern armies. They battled the southern armies. Now it's come to the last piece, and Caleb says, let me have it. I'm going to go do it. It's Hebron, or Kiriath Arba, because it says after he conquered them, the land now had peace. His commitment to the vision. God is speaking to us. Do not, write this in your notes, do not give up on your dreams, vision, your hope vision. Don't give up on the hope that God's dropped in your heart personally and corporately. Don't give up on those things. There might be delay. There might be challenges. You might have to wait longer than you anticipated. But God is faithful. We have to remind ourselves of what he's done in the past. That's what the Israelites failed to do and put them in this horrible situation. They failed to remember who their God was and what he'd done before. He could do again. I brought something to share with you today. Show and tell. Do you like show and tell? I know you do. I was a children's pastor for 15 years in Maui, and then many of our years here. My wife leads the children's ministry now, and there's something about holding something up. I don't even have to show you what it is. You're just all of a sudden you're glued to whatever it is. Especially if I shake it and make a noise, then you're like, "What is that?" Yeah, that's one of the principles of preaching to kids. So show and tell here. I've got a very special gift bag, Season's Greetings. This one's very significant to me and to my family. And I've brought it here today just to kind of give you an illustration, because you might be facing delay. Maybe some things you've been hoping for haven't come about when you thought they were. Maybe someone else has caused the delay and you're having to wait it out. Back in 2011, 2012, right there at the season's time, holiday time, we were living in Maui, and I had no intention of leaving Maui at all, ever, in the history of my life. I was ever going to leave Maui. I lived two blocks from the beach, took my kids there all the time, give him praise. And then the Lord interrupted my great plans and gave me a series of dreams that were so real and so profound that if I ignored them, I was going to be judged for it. And he said that to me. And so one of those dreams, there was five of them, but one of them was kind of unique. One of my sons and I were in a cold place wearing coats, and we were by a river. And as I turned away from the river to look at the river bank, which is kind of had a shelf or whatever, there were silver bars sticking out of the river bank. And I went and grabbed them, and I took them to someone that gauges silver. And the man says to me, "You've become extremely wealthy." And I wake up. And you know what I did once I woke up? Started looking for a river with silver bars. That's what you would do too. I did not get up and go, "Wow, maybe in 15 years that'll come about." No, I was looking right away. Where's the silver bars? And the Lord made it clear we were going to move to Oregon. So we moved to Oregon, went through all of the big move stuff of moving my family to Oregon, and we lived there for 1 year. Guess what I was doing when I was driving around? Where's these silver bars at? Lord, where's it at? Then we moved to Alaska. Guess what I'm doing all the way up the Alcan? No silver bars. I guess I just made that up. We arrived here in July of 2015. And several years later, at Lucille Street, we're at Candlelight Communion. Christmas Eve Candlelight Communion. And a little girl, who's not so little anymore, a little girl walks up to me and hands me a gift bag. And when little kids come up to me and give me things, I know it's probably a cat of some kind. Now, if you like cats, that's great. They're not my favorite. And that's okay, too. So I don't usually open things kids give me. It's usually cats. The going thing now is sharks. People hand me shark stickers, stuffed sharks, shark coloring books. They make little motions with their hands to look like a shark. Yeah, I see some of you. God bless you and your children. So when, as the children's pastor, I get unique little homemade things and thing all the time. So I'm like, "Oh, thank you." And as Candlelight Communion was wrapping up, I took it back to my office and I sat down and I thought, okay, let's see what cat paraphernalia we got this year. I open it up and it wasn't cats or sharks or anything. It was silver bars. It was bars of silver, and I was staring at it and I didn't know what to say, because at that moment I realized my God is faithful. My God will bring about what he has declared. My God will do. Your God will do what he said he's going to do. He's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. Does he speak and not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? That's the God we serve. And I stood there dumbfounded, tears in my face, because if this is going to show up, so is everything else that he has promised. So then the little girl, a year later, Candlelight Communion, Now, the family's here today, so I'm not going to tell you their names. They had no idea the faith they released in my home and the blessing that they were to my faith and even just being in Alaska. Here she comes a year later. She's walking up, and I'm like, oh, my Lord, could it be again? Thank you. Could it be again? Could this really be happening again? So this time I opened it, and it's silver bars again. The third candlelight communion, I see her coming, and I'm like, my God is an amazing God. I already know what's in that. She hands it to me. I said, thank you so much, silver. That's incredible. You know what happens in my house? Because we have discouraging times. We have delay. Maybe not you, but I do. There's other things, prophetic words, visions, and dreams that have not come about. And sometimes when my faith feels really thin and I feel like it's never going to happen, you know what I do? I go grab this at the dinner table with everyone there and I dump it out. And I said, if God can do this, he will do everything he said he's going to do. And I'm telling you the same thing. Was it really silver bars? Yeah, it was really silver bars. Lots of them. It was exactly the dream coming about. It's going to happen for you. If you'll be someone like Caleb, someone committed, someone wholeheartedly serving the Lord, someone courageous, someone of a different spirit. Don't let delay knock you off of the train. Stay committed. Don't give up. Act in faith. Caleb, not having the inheritance yet, acted in faith by staying with the Israelites, by going with the next leadership team, by going through every battle with them. He was acting in faith. I'm going to get what he said. Stay connected to the vision of this house. Help bring this vision about. You have an opportunity this week. Those of you that are life group leaders, great job. You're helping bring about the vision of this house. You're an important part of the vision coming about. Those of you that are on teams, you serve, you lead on a team. You are a part of fulfilling the vision of what God wants to do in Alaska. This coming Friday night, you could be a part of the team. Many of you are. I know there's some husbands and wives, the mom's going to go through the games and the dad's going to serve. And then some of them, the dad's going to take care of the kids and go have fun, and mom's going to serve at the event. Thank you so much. Some of you, you're changing your schedule to be at the event. Thank you so much. We are going to see part of our vision come about. Well, what's that? The harvest. Our neighbors, the people we work with, hearing the story, hearing the gospel, the story of Jesus. You can be part of that. You can be help bring that vision about. So don't give up on your personal vision. Don't give up on all the visions and things that he's dropped, your hopes, dreams that he's dropped in your heart. Won't you stand with me this morning? Did you get something from God today? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap today for a great word. What a powerful word. Well, lift your hands for just a moment. And I'm going to pray into this today. And I want to invite you to make a fresh commitment to be someone like Caleb. Father, we've got our hands lifted here this morning and we've heard this word and it hits us on the inside because we face delays and we face waiting and things that other people did that now we're having to walk out before the vision can be fulfilled. And we face battles and challenges. And Lord, I pray a release of faith today, faith to keep going, faith to pursue, faith to be patient, faith to allow you and your perfect time to come about, not to hasten the time to fulfillment with our own schemes and strategies, but to let you direct our steps. I release faith today I release a renewed hope. Lord, dreams and hopes that were a long time ago and we've kind of let them go, thinking they're never going to come about. God, you can do anything. You're a faithful God. You've not forgotten those things that you've dropped in our heart to pray about, to pursue about, to contend for. You've dropped them in our heart so that we would ask you and you could fulfill. That's the kind of God you are. And I thank you, Lord. I give you praise today. I release the faith of Caleb here today. That different spirit, that courageous spirit of Caleb upon this house, and these families, these individuals, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, before we dismiss, yeah, let's put our hands together for the Lord again. Amen, what a great word. Before we're dismissed today and before we go about our day, I want to make sure that you are right with God. If you find yourself today needing to be made right with God, or maybe you're not sure, don't leave this place in that condition. Don't leave wondering if you've got everything worked out with God. You can be made right today. You can leave this place with confident assurance that should Jesus return this day, you would be ready to meet him in the air. That's a real thing. Nobody knows the day and time Jesus is coming back. Not even Jesus knows when he's coming back. Only the Father knows. We have to stay ready. We don't drift away. Maybe you've drifted away. Maybe you need to come back to the Lord. Maybe you need to renew your commitment. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. And those of you that are online, I'm going to invite you to pray with me as well. And if you need to get right with God, or maybe you don't know if you're right, I'm going to invite you to pray right out loud. We're going to pray what the Word declares in Romans 10 about what we believe in our heart, what we profess with our mouth, that Jesus came to this earth, died on a cross so that we could be forgiven, rose from the dead so we could have eternal life. It is a life-changing moment when you really receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Let's do that today. Would you bow your head with me? And we only do that to have a private moment. You don't have to. You don't have to close your eyes. It doesn't make your prayer more holy. It just allows you to not be distracted. Would you pray right out loud with me today? Would you receive what Jesus did for me, for you? Pray right out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins so I could be forgiven and rising from the dead to give me eternal life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Make me new. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm committed to you from this moment on. Thank you for loving me and hearing my prayer. Come on, lift your hands. I'm going to pray for you today. Father, I thank you that even right now, there was fresh commitment, some the first time, some coming back to you. They're going to have the commitment of Caleb. Lord, I thank you online that there is a fresh commitment made to you today. Lord, I pray a refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Fill them with your power. I pray from this moment on, the old is gone, I declare over their life, the old is gone. The new has come, new thoughts, new attitudes, new mindsets, new value systems, new walk with you because of your son Jesus. And I thank you, God, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.